And welcome to the Nature Connections show today. You're listening to Natural Health Radio, and my name is Sarah Turner. My guest today is Paul Strode, and Paul is a flower essence specialist and a craniosacral therapist. So welcome to Nature Connections, Paul.
Thank you.
I'm excited that you're here because we obviously share the same passion for flowers and for working with the nature kingdom. So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you came to be doing what you do.
There's two branches, really. The cranial sacral therapy, which I started in 97, and the flower essences that I discovered in 1999. I first came into the cranial work. I was working as a receptionist at a holistic chiropractic office in LA. In 95, and there was a cranial sacral therapist working there at the time, and quite literally people would come in and wait in the waiting room. I would observe this rather dark cloud over these individuals, and then as they had their treatment and came out, the dark cloud turned into sunshine. And I said to the gentleman concerned, "What are you doing in there?" And he explained that he was doing something called cranial sacral therapy. And I was like, interested, well, what is it that you're doing? And he explained. And I then came home from LA and I found that the doctor, the Up Ledger Institute in Scotland was teaching cranial sacral therapy. So in 97, I started my first module with them. And then it took me about 4 years to get through the other modules. There's a lot of practical exercises, and so albeit that I'm now, you know, I'm a cranial sacral therapist since 97, it's only in the last 6 years that really I've been able to do it full time and really been able to understand it. There's a lot of hoops or gates that you need to jump through with it personally and also the application wise. So it took me a long time to experience that. And I started off very small. I started off doing one evening a week and then that built up to two evenings a week. And now I do it full time. And I mainly work with newborn babies, birth trauma, and all ages of children and horses. So that's the cranial work. The flower essences that I started in 1999, I was a products manager. I was asked to be a products manager for a healing program where I made lots of light essences, which were more angelic essences. Mm-hmm. And one day we ran out of one tincture, which was a flower essence. And myself and my colleague went down to this little river and where these flowers were that she needed to make the essences. And she pulled out this beautiful crystal geode and proceeded to make these flower essences. Now, I had never heard of a flower essence. I'd obviously been making the light essences, but I'd never heard of a flower essences, let alone Dr. Batch and his range of remedies. And so really inquisitive, really drawn to what she was doing, I asked her if I could give it a go. And she gave me her geode and she said, use some of the techniques that we use within her healing program to make a bridge or a connection to the spirit world and evoke, request even the diva to be within this very sort of sacred space that we use. It's an alchemical process as much as a focus and an opening into that place. And in that place with the geode and the flower, I came into contact with my first ever experience of working with plant spirit medicine.
Wow.
Bluebell was my first flower. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful way of connecting the mineral as well as the flower. So the mineral geode that I used was a clear quartz mineral geode. A geode is kind of like a cup. If you had a tennis ball and you cut it in half, it would be, you can see big amethyst ones, but these kind of fit in your hand.
Okay. And so you put the water in the geode and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, the water that you use is fundamental, the quality of that. So in Dr. Batch's method, the sun method, you use a glass bowl and then you cut the flowers and the flowers will drop into the water. So that's called the sun method, and the traditional method that mainly all the fluorescence producers are using. This method is called the crystallescence method because you use a crystal geode. And in the way we connect with the spirit of the flower and the way we process making it an essence, we don't cut the flower itself. It's called an uncut flower essence or a living essence. And it's very different in its vibration to a cut essence because it's not cut. When we look at vibrational medicine, it's about coherence. And if you just take one bit of the flower, one bit of the plant, sorry, then you've only just got the flower itself if you just cut in that. An uncut or a living essence is how wildflower produces essences with the crystal geode, allows the full coherence of the energy of the plant to be within the remedy. So the flower is still attached to the plant, attached to the roots, attached to the earth. So that type of remedy is very different to the regular remedies that are out there and are produced by the sun method. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, interesting, isn't it, too, actually, because you've experienced both kinds. And when we work with this kind of thing, you do get used to, you're attuned to the vibrations. So it's fascinating to hear you talk about how you experience the differences. That was really clear.
And also, it has mineral in there too. So
yes.
when I didn't, I suppose slightly naive in that process, I didn't realise that, of course, the mineral essence, the mineral diva would be within that process. I thought that they were more going to be an amplification tool, allow me to ground the vibration of the flower, of which all of that it does. But of course, it infuses its vibration at that point of production too. So wildflower produces mineral and flower essences combined into one.
Now, one of the things that fascinated me, that's not even the right word, but that drew my attention to your work, I love all flower essence practitioners and producers' work, but something that showed me that something a little bit different about what you were doing, or actually how you were explaining it, was that I know that you have a very deep connection with the Devic Kingdom, which is very tangible to you. Would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, it's tangible now, but it certainly wasn't. I mean, I was raised a Catholic, and I'm not a Catholic by any means now, but I never turned my intuitive ability to the shamanic world because I thought that was dancing with the devil. And so for many moons, I was plagued by this little voice that would say to me, "You're dancing with the devil. You're going to go to hell for this." And so I carried on with the work and found that the healing that I experienced from working with the divas themselves and nature, it couldn't be that. And of course, it isn't that. But I had to wrestle with my own demons first to be able to accept what I was doing. And when I turned my intuition, my focus to that, I found that there was a whole raft of communication that opened up, not only viscerally, physically, as I experienced the medicine of the healing of the flowers, but my inner eye and my inner ear opened up to allow, now I see, more information to be bridged from the Devic world into our world and into the essences themselves.
So to anybody listening that isn't very familiar with the Devic world, could you tell us a little bit about what you're referring to?
Yeah, thank you. Diva is actually a Sanskrit word for shining one. And it is a specific name within, Sanskrit isn't an Indian language. It is a specific name given to intelligence found within nature, a diva. We would may call them fairies. I like calling them diva because in my inner eye, I see them as light. I see them as orbs. And so when I found out that deva or diva meant shining ones, I warmed and resonated to that. Yeah. So it's a description of individuals found within nature intelligence that specifically seems to be within the plant kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So your work is very much about translating their healing gifts into a form that can be understood by those of us with two legs and four legs.
Yeah, and also, absolutely, when I started, I didn't realise I was doing that. I was doing it very much for a personal experience. But then I realised after 7 years exposure through my clinical practice and then working with Kirlian photography, Dr. Omoto, messages from water and aura photography, I realised that I've really got something here and that it's a new range of flower essences compared to the traditional Dr. Batch 38 remedies that are out there in the market. So when I cross-referenced, when I had a box full of these remedies over a couple of years of making them, I realized that there wasn't anyone necessarily producing them or communicating them commercially. So I had to... look, there's a healthy cynic and a healthy skeptic that keeps me very grounded. And so I had to try and quieten them or at least prove to them that what I was being able to bring through from nature was sincere and I wasn't making it up. And that's where the cranial work in my clinical practice, the cranial work and the body's biofeedback mechanism.
So tell us a little bit about that. For anybody that's not familiar with your craniosacral therapy, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, cranial sacral therapy started in the 70s by a cranial osteopath called Dr. Upledger, who I've studied with his institute. It's a hands-on technique that is very, very gentle. It's practiced through clothes. Actually, if you were to view it, it wouldn't look like the practitioner was doing much, but you get some really profound results from it. But within that, and this is unique to Dr. Upledger's cranial sacral therapy, is a process called SER, somato emotional release. And pretty much from the start of the training that you have at the Upledger Institute is this process. And within it, to operate it, to help the emotions be released from the tissues themselves, they teach you to listen to a biofeedback mechanism that they call the significance detector. This could be viewed as something very similar to kinesiology or dowsing. Mm-hmm. But it's directly from the body's own tissues. It's palpable, it's physical, and basically you can get a yes no from it.
Wow. So is it a sound?
No, it's a physical feeling.
Okay.
that feels like a breath. Okay. When it's like a filling and emptying of the hands, and it is the linchpin of how how Upledger's cranial sacral therapy works, is that it has direct communication into something they call the inner physician.
Yeah.
And that inner physician, you could say, is the innate intelligence behind all form. And that canvas, as it were, allowed me to experience if the flower essences that I was producing or co-producing with nature worked, because I wholeheartedly believe in that and experience remarkable stuff through that biofeedback mechanism. And so I took 7 years in that field, on that canvas, as it were, to really understand what flower essences were and to see if what I was doing was genuine and sincere. Fortunately, it came out that I was. And so then I expanded it out to, as I say, testing it with Kirlian photography, which is an energy photography, and also aura photography, and Dr. Omoto, messages from water.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, so I see that you've actually you're bringing in both right and left hand sides of the brain, aren't you? You're using, working extraordinarily intuitively, but also using energetic methods that are more sort of black and white, that's not really the right word, but are much more tangible to measure, which is really important.
Exactly, Sarah. It is important because, you know, when I'm standing on my stand at shows and I'm presenting what I do, people will always present, well, not always, but some people will present, well, what about placebo? And look, placebo works, right? We know that. But my cynic and my skeptic who sit on each of my shoulders require me to go that much further, because I can't stand at that stand promoting plant spirit medicine if it's a placebo. I have to come from a place of being sincere. So I've had to challenge the remedies that I've made. And whatever is out there, whatever way I can do it, I've taken it to that. Of course, you can appreciate that was rather nerve-wracking, as it was going to prove or disprove my sanity. Luckily, proof came through that, and significant shifts and change came through those results. So that's other work that I'm bringing forward now, is showing with such visual creatures that that work really has a profound impact on people's understanding of flower essences.
Yes, and I think often as well, people just, even if they haven't come across it before consciously, when they hear it or see it or feel it, a part of them gets it.
Yeah, I'm certainly seeing that more now, like we were discussing earlier, in the last year and a half. There seems to be a quantum shift where numerous people I would have to explain what a flower essence is. And when I did, there was a scratching of the head. Now there seems to be an acceptance or an awareness, or at least that they suspend judgment, because we don't know everything. And the more quantum side of things are coming more into our conscious and unconscious ways of thinking. So I think it's been more embraced now, whether they know it or not, or whether we know it or not.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Something that you mentioned earlier, when you work with children, specifically birth trauma, I find that really profound, that there are modalities that can work at that level. So would you tell us a little bit about how that works, and so that people might can understand if they've had a child, or presumably you work with adults for birth trauma too?
Yeah, you certainly can. When we did our pediatric module, you worked on adults first to then experience what that long-term shock and trauma does to the system, or that asymmetry, or that slight twist in the pelvis, or those lingering headaches that don't seem to go away, or that digestion problem. Look, you know, we've all done it. And even a good birth is traumatic. It's meant to be traumatic to kickstart the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight and flight nervous system. When we go through the birth canal, all the bones are squashed, in the cranium, that is, and in the spine, every part of the spine is adjusted, we're stretched and pulled. It's a traumatic experience. We have never experienced that when we're in our mother's tummies, when we're in the womb. And so that can linger after birth, particularly with all the intervention that can happen. The most important thing for us to understand is that as long as we survive, right, and that everyone's okay, we can mop up what's happened after. Birth is obviously a very sensitive issue for individuals, and rightly so. But the cranial work and with the flower essences allows the individual, the child, to release that trauma from the tissues itself, going back to that SER process. When we work with adults, we can people can experience quite deep trauma that has been unresolved, as it were, or pocketed within the system that then has voice and can move. And we find that it can be really, really beneficial. Mm. Obviously, as a wee one, when you're born, you don't necessarily have such a cathartic response because you're that much closer to it. So the coping strategies that have been built around it are less. So it has amazing ability to ground the babies, enables them to digest properly, feed better, be happier, not so crying. Colic is a big umbrella over many different things, which the medical profession doesn't know what it is. But from my perspective, when I put my hands on a baby who've got colic, inverted commas, there's hypertension in the nervous system that's just screaming out. And with the cranial, as well as the flower essences, they can help ground the infant, the baby, after quite an incredible process.
So, yes, extraordinary work. I've heard about the work that people like yourselves do, and it's beautiful, very beautiful. So I think the more people hear about the possibilities, the better.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll just start quickly on that subject too. Horses, I mean, it works with any animals too, right? But I've got a background in horses. I used to show jump. I lived up at the stables, and in ways I wish I'd stayed with it, but I haven't, but I've come back to it. Now, working with horses and flower essences and cranial, using that same biofeedback mechanism that I explained before, but with a horse, oh my God, the horse really can find an opportunity to vent, to voice its feelings through this biofeedback mechanism and the remedies that they choose, as well as working remarkably well. And I would push to say that they respond even better to cranial and flower essences than we do.
Yes. Yes. Animals do respond.
Yeah.
Remarkably, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, they don't have to fight with the whole placebo thing, that even those of us who should know better, still there's a part of us that goes, well, hey, this is just a flower essence.
Yeah. And, you know, check it out. If you're a horse and you're a prey, you're not predator, you're a prey animal. You need your fitness. You need every single limb to be working at its optimum, because if you don't, you may well die. In a herd of horses, the wolf will suss out who is the one that is ill. And so horses bury a lot of emotional stuff, which then can reflect into physical ailments and imbalances. But a horse requires its health and its agility and ability to be at peak for its survival. And so for ourselves who are predators and not prey, and maybe as humans, we maybe have a little bit more baggage, but horses certainly don't. And they work with flower essences and cranial on a level that I cannot ascertain apart from seeing the results that we do. They're so much more round the corner, as it were, than, even though I'm on the curve with what I do, they're right round the corner waiting for me, going, come on, speed up.
That's lovely. I mean, how lovely to work with babies and children and horses. Wow.
Yeah.
Aren't you lucky?
I feel really blessed. I think there was a part of me that came into this work quite young, in my 20s. And I think I was kicking and punching at the fact that I had to step up. I was called to step up into this work, where a lot of my friends and colleagues were still enjoying life in different ways. And I still find that when I go to things of interest, particularly in the healing world, I'm considerably younger than other people there. So I feel blessed now that as life has unfolded more for me now, I'm in my 40s now, that I can do this work. And I feel really privileged, and particularly with flower essences, where it's so important to understand what they are, and how they work, and as we said before, understand that, you know, nature wants to be a part of our healing process. And flower essences are a fantastic way of accessing not just the healing of the flower, but the consciousness behind the flower itself. You know, sorry, if I can just quickly.
Please.
When I, of course, my cynic and skeptic challenged me with what I was doing, and I wanted to find out what Darwin had to say about the whole thing, because when you look at the evolutionary process, that's the bullet that maybe that will bring down what I do, that it was an evolutionary process created out of hiccups, misfirings and mistakes that just magically created Darwin's theory of evolution. And so I searched for when were the origins of flowers and when was the first flower. And immediately this website came up saying Darwin, who after that book spent all his life dedicated to plants, after the what's his book? Forgive me. I feel so embarrassed. The Evolution of Species. Darwin's. Anyway.
I can't help you there, I'm afraid.
Your listeners will be jumping up and down knowing exactly the book he wrote. Anyway, so when he looked at the evolutionary process of flowers, he noticed that at one point in the plant's evolutionary process, that the Origin of Species, forgive me, that's the book.
Okay.
That there were no flowers at all, and that plants pollinated by air and by root. He then discovered suddenly, as if a quantum leap, suddenly plants produced flowers. And he called it an abominable mystery. And I love that, because it then proceeded me into thinking, well, why does a plant produce a flower? Because it's a huge amount of effort. Mm-hmm. Well, we know to, say, attract insects. How does a plant know that there are insects? How does a plant know that by producing a flower that it will, that the insects can see, let alone smell, and let alone reward it with something that it knows it likes? So for me, suddenly the abominable mystery illuminated into that the plant itself is the flower itself is a representation of nature intelligence. Mm. And then that flower gets germinated. It produces a fruit for another species of animal. Mm. So I feel very blessed to be in this stream of consciousness of working with plant spirit medicine, which isn't anything new. You know, our ancestors have been working with plant spirit medicine, shamanism, from the dawn of time. It is the oldest spiritual practice that humans have ever experienced. And I do feel very honoured to be working with flowers.
It's quite recent, actually, that we've forgotten, isn't it? I know when I've looked back into it, it's, you know, just a generation ago, people knew this kind of thing.
Yeah, it exactly. And it's I think with the onset of quantum physics, which is seemingly reflecting in science's own way of describing it, what our ancestors experienced when the shamans spoke about the web of life, the quantum physics scientists would see that as string theory. And so, you know, our ancestors, we do well to connect with that. I mean, that's partly what I've experienced with wildflower, is that I co-produce English wildflower essences. And the very land that you produce a remedy from does have an impact in there. A lot of people experience bushflower remedies. Bush and patch are the big players in the market. And people experience Australian bushflower remedies with quite a punch. But that's quite Aussie, isn't it? It's quite akin to what their land is. But in this very land that we live in, the United Kingdom, these islands, there was a spiritual practice pre-Christian that was a goddess, druidic-based religion that connected to the earth. And our mythology, folklore, and connection with nature particularly, and all of the stories and information that we have, is unique to the rest of the world. So something came from this land and met us at our heart that is primarily nature. It's nature intelligence. And it's plant spirit medicine. So, yeah, I'm excited to be in this work.
Yes, and it's interesting, isn't it, as well, that I think the UK is, I don't know if it's the largest selling place where most fluorescences sell, but it's certainly in the top two or three the last time I heard about it.
Yeah, and Dr. Batch, you know, I say Batch because a lot of people say Bark, but I've worked...
I say Batch too.
Yeah, and Claire G. Harvey, big hub within the fluorescence world, her mother worked with Dr. Batch, and he asked to be called Dr. Batch, not Bark.
Yes.
So his work has allowed this conversation and the voice of flowers to come out, albeit that in the 1930s he may well not have been able to speak in the way that we are, but you know, I big up to Dr. Batch.
Absolutely, yes. A lot of gratitude to him.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your own range, Paul, and because you've spoken to us very beautifully about what you do and how everything works, but we haven't actually heard about your range. So tell us about them.
Yeah. So as I said earlier, when I entered into the fluorescence world, I had no idea about Dr. Batch. I had no idea about other fluorescences. And I found that, as did Dr. Batch, that when I went out walking in nature, that I was attracted to certain flowers, specific flowers that seemed to illuminate themselves as if calling to me. So I would get my essence making kit, my geode. I would make that bridge, as it were, that ceremonial alchemical process into that the spirit world, connect with the flower diva in that way. And as did Dr. Batch, as I said, I didn't know he did that same process. I found that the healing came from within me when I made that remedy. And so I didn't necessarily go out into nature and say, all right, there's poppy, let me make poppy, or there's bluebell, let me make bluebell. It was very much a calling of my own process. And so Wildflower has produced a completely different range that is different from out there, different from other remedies in the market. And I've got 28 individual essences. I've made other essences to try and capture different types of energy to really see if I can work the whole production of different types of essences, seeing if I could capture an alignment of stars, for instance, star energy and things like that. But the range that I present on my website and what I sell at shows is a selection of 28 individual wildflower essences. And as I explained earlier, that we don't cut the flower, the uncut flower essence or the living essence, it allowed me, or it does still allow me, to access flowers that you can't cut, like purple spotted orchid or white spotted orchid, or even bluebell or primrose that you can't cut. And so wildflower offers us a whole range of different flowers with minerals within them too, that is different on the market.
Definitely. So it sounds very beautiful. I can really feel the connection that you have with the Divic Kingdom and how your own process has been very much part of it, which allows you to speak about what you do so in so much detail and with so much grace.
Thank you.
So thank you for sharing with us that today. Tell everybody how they can find out about your essences. What's the name of your website?
Yeah, please do visit my website. It's Wildflower Essences. That's all one word. Wildfloweressences.co.uk. And on there, you can have a look at my website. There's also a button on there called personalized blends. You know, Sarah, what's really important in creating individual blends for people, there's lots of people, and I've been advised numerous times by people within the market that I should produce, or Wildflower should produce, already created blends like rescue, remedy, protection, courage. And I found that through my own healing practice that there were, your stress and my stress may be completely different. So choose a remedy that is bespoke for you. And so on my website, there's a personalized blending tool that allows us to, with intuition and to be guided by that, to make our own blends up. And albeit that's important for ourselves, but more importantly, it's important to know what flowers are helping us in our healing process. Because when you go out walking in nature and you see that primrose is there and has helped you, that connection that we have and that conscious knowing is part of weaving those fibers back together that we spoke about earlier, mm-hmm. about being fractured between ourselves and nature. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. So anyway, have a little look at that. There's also a discount code that I can give your listeners, mm-hmm. which is SD20, sugar daddy 20, SD20.
Brilliant.
And do that all in high case, and put that at the end, and that will give you 20% off all our products on our website, which your listeners are very welcome to use.
That's really good of you. Thank you. I hope loads of people go and have a look. And I've looked at your personalised blending part on your website, and you get to see all the flower photos.
Yeah,
it's lovely.
Yeah, you get to see who you're dealing with.
Exactly, and you work very much in this very similar way to myself. I do really feel it's important to see the flower, and the flower divas like to be seen. They like to be acknowledged in the process.
There's communication at that very point. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes. Yeah, brilliant. Well, I'm assuming that people can find out about your craniosacral self as well through your wildflower site.
Yes, there's a link on the wildflower site, which is if you click on about me. Otherwise, it's craniosacraltherapist.co.uk. All one word, craniosacraltherapist.co.uk. Or otherwise you can there's a link from my wildflower site as well. Yeah,
brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Paul. It's been a real delight.
Oh, thank
I feel
you.
As if I've been for a whole walk in nature just talking to you. It's very connecting to listen to you and to hear your honesty and authenticity.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity of having this presentation and talk. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.